Harper Audio presents Forbidden by Beverly Jenkins, performed by Kim Staunton. Prologue, Georgia, 1865. Wearing the blue uniform of the Union Army, Rheinfontein tethered his horse to the post and surveyed the charred piles of rubble of the house that once anchored the largest plantation in the county. It had also been his home. The sight of the destruction pleased him, even though the bitter memories of his life there would follow him to the grave. The former two-story mansion with its Romanesque columns, wide front porch and well-kept grounds had been set afire by his great-aunt Mati. She died in the flames along with his crippled, bedridden father, Carson Fontaine, who'd ruled his 300 slaves with all the cruelty of a medieval king. Rhein hoped Carson was rotting in hell, but he mourned Mati. She'd raised him, loved him, and helped him try and make sense of the harsh, unfeeling world he'd been born into. With her gone, he and his younger sister Sable were the last living ties to their mother Azealia, the descendant of an enslaved African queen. Rhein had been so young when Azealia died, he could no longer recall her face, voice, or touch, and that too fed his bitterness. Slavery had been an abomination. Rhein hated it and this place so deeply that were he not seeking information on Sable's whereabouts, he would never have come back. He walked past the mansion's remains to see if the rows of slave cabins were still out back and maybe find someone with news of Sable. Although the war was over and slavery was dead, many of the enslaved had chosen to remain with their masters. He couldn't begin to understand their thinking, nor did he judge, because he'd made what some would consider an equally unthinkable choice. The cabins were there, but in such terrible disrepair, he doubted anyone lived in them anymore. Entire sections of the wooden walls were gone, and many had no roofs. Weeds had grown tall enough to fill doorways, and as he stood in the eerie silence, memories flowed back of slave children running and playing after a long day in the fields, their mothers cooking and mending, their fathers tending the small gardens that held beans, corn, yams, and collards to supplement the lean rations Carson grudgingly supplied. Those remembrances also brought back the sounds of mothers screaming helplessly while some of those same children were dragged off and sold. From behind him, a woman's voice snarled, "There's nothing left to steal here, Yankee, so get off my land." He turned to see his father's wife, Sally Ann Fontaine, standing in the doorway of one of the dilapidated cabins. Her ragged, dirty gown, unkempt hair, and shoeless feet were shocking. The last time he'd seen her, she'd been queen to Carson's king. Now she looked worse than any of the slaves. "Hello, Mrs. Fontaine." She studied him a brief moment before recognition widened her brown eyes. "You! Where's my Andrew?" Andrew was his half-brother. They'd gone to war together to fight for the Confederacy. "I don't know. After the first battle, Drew deserted. Said he was heading west."
"You're lying."
And as if the hope of her son's return was the only thing keeping her sanity intact, she leapt upon him, screaming obscenities and pounding him with ineffectual fists.
"No, you lying bastard! Where's my son?"
He grabbed her wrists. "I don't know." And he didn't. He also didn't remind her that she and Drew had been estranged when they rode off to war because Drew refused to treat the slaves the way their father did. As she crumbled and began weeping, he released her wrists and asked, "Have you seen my sister Sable?" The tears stopped and the hate in her eyes seared him. "She ran off the morning after that old witch mutt."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?